Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Wait until you hear who gave me the throat slash sign on Sunday. Ooh. That may mean a call to action. Oh my gosh. My life, never a dull moment. Sometimes I wish it was dull and boring, but this was a really good weekend. I hope you enjoyed your weekend too. I know there are many areas of the country, the Midwest, as well as parts of the East Coast, that are experiencing near record high temperatures. And in some cases, that also includes brutal humidity. So please, please, please be safe if that's you. Chicago is one area that I know they've had incredibly high heat and heat indices. So much so that you could fry an egg on the sidewalk. And then there's other places like Wisconsin where they had so much rain in such a short period of time that the news was reporting there were places that people were caught unawares. The water was up to their door handle on their cars before they could get out of wherever they were stuck. And just the rain fell so quickly and caught people unawares. So weird natural disasters that take place all the time and major swings in temperatures. So be safe, be careful wherever you are as we head into the official summer months. In fact, this week marks the beginning of summer. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio inside the Quicken Loans studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. But a half hour from now, we're going to talk Cleveland, Believeland, because we've been looking at some of the quarterback battles around the NFL and thought it would be interesting to get a report on Baker Mayfield's first summer in the league as the overall number one draft pick of the Browns this year. Of course, they've got a new presumed starter or a new number one on their depth chart in Tyrod Taylor. So a bunch of changes. Todd Haley as the offensive coordinator this year for the Browns. No more Joe Thomas, at least on the offensive line, after 10,363 consecutive snaps. I believe that was the case before he tore that triceps muscle. So there are a lot of changes for the Browns offense. They've got some young talent on the defensive side. And so this hour we will speak with Daryl Ryder, who covers not just the Browns, but also the Cavaliers for our affiliate in Cleveland, 92.3 The Fan. And why do you care? Well, of course, the biggest question mark of the NBA offseason is the decision by LeBron James again. And that could maybe be complicated by Kawhi Leonard, but with 6 degrees of separation, there is some talk that the Cavaliers would love to be able to trade for Kawhi Leonard, but the idea would be as an incentive to keep LeBron James in town. The thing is, if you believe the reports in the San Antonio News Express, Kawhi Leonard actually wants to go to Los Angeles, Lakers or Clippers, though the Lakers, again, according to the San Antonio News Express, the Lakers would be his first choice. Huh. Where have we heard that before? Oh, I don't know, from Paul George, at least the reports, as well as from LeBron James camp, not from him specifically, but from people around him saying that's what he would prefer. Well, I mean, the Lakers can't put all three in there because lo and behold, LeBron James, Kawhi Leonard, and Paul George all play the same position.
Los Angeles.
So thank you, Jerry. So yeah, there's going to be a lot of drama during the NBA offseason, and we'll talk with Daryl from 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland a half hour from now here on After Hours with Amy Lawrence. The Kawhi Leonard twist came after there was talk that he and Greg Popovich were going to get together and try to iron out their differences. I don't believe that has happened. So why is it that Kawhi is unhappy in San Antonio? Is it because he feels like the team didn't support him when he was recovering from the quad injury?
What you said is correct.
Hi, Coach Pop. He was cleared by the Spurs training staff, by the Spurs medical staff, to play basketball again. His teammates were pleading with him to return. And it was such a glaring absence that he was not with his team during the playoffs. And I get it. The Spurs postseason run was relatively short. But he wasn't there. Compare that with, say, the Celtics, who had two All-Stars who were also unavailable during the postseason. Now, in the case of Kawhi, he chose not to play. But these two Celtics couldn't play because of injuries. Every single game that I remember with the Celtics during the postseason, Kyrie. It's like a celebrity marriage, Kawhi and Kawhi. Kyrie and Gordon Hayward were both on the sidelines watching. Oh, actually, I guess, didn't Kyrie have some kind of a, did he have a tooth pulled or something in the last Celtics playoff game? Well, you look up and see why he missed game 7. I think it was dental surgery. Oh, he had a deviated septum. Okay. So that one he wasn't there for. But for the most part, they were a fixture. When Kevin Love was going through concussion protocol, he was with the team. It's generally, when Andre Iguodala was unable to play, he was with the team. I mean, it's generally accepted that if you're part of the team, you're there, even if you're injured, especially during the postseason. But that wasn't Kawhi, and that kind of bothered me. I talked about it a bunch here on the show when we were going through the early round of the NBA playoffs. So what happened then? Why is it that Kawhi is so unhappy? Don Harris of News 4 in San Antonio, Texas, was a guest on CBS Sports HQ.
I think all along that Kawhi Leonard, for about the last 2 years, has a number of factors that makes him unhappy. Sharing the ball with LaMarcus Aldridge is one. The Spurs' commitment to LaMarcus long-term is another. The injury factor is another. And being homesick and wanting to be in Los Angeles, his mother and uncle apparently weren't thrilled with San Antonio and living here. So I think it's multifaceted.
So there are a couple of maybe tidbits there that would indicate why it is that Kawhi wants out of San Antonio. It wasn't just this situation with the injury, though this compounded things. If there's now a disconnect or maybe a mistrust between Kawhi's camp and Greg Popovich and the San Antonio Spurs training staff, the medical staff. But you hear Don Harris from News 4 in San Antonio say he wants to be home in Los Angeles. He wants to be closer to family. The injury situation, well, that was bad. And remember, he was injured at the end of the Spurs run in 2017, right? So he had hurt his, was it ankle that he hurt? And then he got stepped on in the beginning of the Western Conference Finals against the Golden State Warriors. And that essentially knocked him out for the rest of the way. He couldn't recover. So he was trying to get better. And then just as he's getting back, he gets hurt again. And so the injuries have been now more than a full year of him trying to get back and get ready and rejoin his teammates. And there was some frustration on both sides. But the LaMarcus Aldridge element is interesting to me. I hadn't heard that part before. I believe in a basketball game, there are more than enough shots to go around for both Kawhi Leonard and LaMarcus Aldridge. If the Golden State Warriors can make it work with three shooters, three guys who are used to a volume of shots and used to being the man, then certainly Kawhi and LaMarcus Aldridge can divvy up the offense. And not to mention, it's better to have two guys who are offensive threats. If LaMarcus Aldridge starts becoming the focal point of the offense, guess what happens? More of the defensive game plan from opponents is focused on him. And that opens up opportunities for Kawhi. It's a symbiotic relationship, or it can be. Now, this is coming from Don Harris, a reporter in San Antonio. It's not coming from Kawhi's camp specifically, but these are the rumblings around Leonard and why he would like out of the Spurs organization. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. With a quick way you can save money, switch to Geico. And if you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, you can get it all at geico.com. Kareem is in California. Welcome to After Hours.
Thanks, Amy. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
So this is a great topic that you opened up the show with. And I would like to say that, you know, I think the LaMarcus Aldridge factor, I think that's the least of Kawhi's concern. I understand about, you know, having to, you know, share touches, you know, with a guy such as LaMarcus. But I really think it has to do with Pop and the way, you know, that franchise has been year in, year out. You know, he's been a guy that, you know, he's the sergeant of the team. And, you know, when you got the likes of a Tim Duncan and, you know, David Robinson, who, you know, even – their top stars you can go to and you can tell them, you know, you can yell at them in front of the other 12, 13 players and everybody kind of follows suit. And I think where the rift happened is when, you know, Pop used Ginobili and Parker as his mouthpiece to come out in the media and say things about, the, you know, they had similar injuries and they was able to play with them. And I think he lost his star player by doing that.
Well, how do you know that was from Groch Popovich?
Well, I'm just assuming because, as I said, you know, from the beginning, I think that, you know, the way Pop runs the team, you know, when he had Tim Duncan was a superstar, but, you know, he was like a quiet superstar, didn't really show a lot of ego. And, you know, Pop got on Tim just like he got on the 15th player on that roster. So I think that has been their franchise look for the last 15, 20 years. And now you got Kawhi who came into his own, who's basically, you know, the star of that team. And I feel like with the injury situation and he had to get a second opinion, and there was a lot of things that factored into the reason why him and Pop is not getting along right now. And the thing is, you know, Golden State is running the West right now. I mean, they're running the league, so to speak. So, you know, LeBron understands that he can't, you know, beat them guys. And sometimes you have to look at other things. And he the one started this super team thing. So I know he kind of made comments in during the finals that, you know, with the likes of, you know, KD and Steph and all them guys, it's hard to beat them. So I think it's going to happen that, because, I mean, you got to look at it this way. Kawhi is going to leave next year. He come off the books. He's going to be a free agent. So my thing is.
Yeah, but that's next year. Where, that's next year, though. That, I mean, the Spurs don't have to do anything with him this year.
They don't. But look what Cleveland did with Kyrie. They didn't have to move Kyrie. They moved him to Boston. He ended up getting hurt. I think he would have been a factor in that these finals, probably to get over the hump if he was healthy to get, you know, Boston past Cleveland. And, you know, if Boston played Golden State, I'm not saying they would have beat him, but I think it would have went longer than four. I guess what I'm saying is that, you know, Kawhi understands that for him to be the player that he wants to be and to have, you know, the likes of a LeBron or even, you know, they was talking about Chris Paul maybe, you know, trying to come to the Lakers as well if they don't get Paul George. My thing is, what package can the Lakers give up, you know, because, you know, both these teams in the West. So Pop is not going to be quick to say, hey, you know, we can't just give quite up for nothing.
Okay, so all right. So here's the deal, Kareem. Thank you so much. I appreciate you listening.
Gone.
you bring up some good points, and there's a lot that could be said. The problem, though, from the Spurs' perspective is right now the trade market for Kawhi is not super high. There are some teams that are wary and should be wary because of the injury issues and because of the fact that he only played 9 games last season and didn't want to come back even when the team cleared him. So the issue now is, what can the Spurs get from him? And you mentioned that with the Lakers. What is it that they can give up, especially if they're also hoping to put a team around a Kawhi and or a LeBron if that works out, or maybe a Paul George? Just the whole thing is obviously complicated, but for the Spurs, does it behoove them to wait until Kawhi plays into the early part of next season so that his trade stock goes up? Because right now his trade stock is low. He didn't play at all last year and refused to come back.
It's your job.
He didn't want to do his job. He sat out. He wasn't even with the team until late. That's got to be a concern. And I think that if the Spurs want to get more for him and they are in the driver's seat because they still have him under contract for one more season, they can wait and presumably his stock will go up simply because he gets back on the court. So right now what Kawhi wants and what the Spurs want may not jive.
I mean, how long do you want me to talk about it? I mean, you just, you know.
As long as it takes. All right, 855-212-4227. We'll talk more about Kawhi Leonard and where he might fit. He's not a superstar who embraces the spotlight. He's a reluctant superstar, to be sure. He's obviously one of the best two-way players in the league when he's healthy. But the Spurs don't actually have to do anything right now. We still don't know about Manu Ginobili and about Tony Parker and about what else they might do and whether or not they could lure LeBron to San Antonio. Gosh, there's so many puzzle pieces that have fallen all over the floor that we have to pick up and figure out where they go. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
If you're a plumber and you don't do your job, you don't get any work.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Chicharito dropped it back. Give and go. Chicharito from Guardado. Here he comes. Hernandez leads it. Lozano cutting, looking, shooting. Lozano, goal. Mexico leads.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Absolutely amazing in Moscow. El Tri pulls off the 1-0 upset of the defending champion Germany. JP Della Camera with a call on Fox. And it was an amazing pass from Chicharito, who then found Chicharito. I'm picturing the play in my mind now. Actually, it's if you want to tweet it up from our show account, Chris, it's also one of the tweets that I liked earlier in the day. So he crosses it to the counterattack, and you hear Irving Lozano then kind of stops, reverses direction, and finds the corner of the goal. Just amazing moment in the first half. And then there were a bunch of quality shots against Mexico in the second half, and yet they managed to survive Germany. Germany had 25 shots on goal, 25 shots, nine of them that were quality on the net, and that includes one late in the game. And still, Mexico was able to hang on. And actually, and I love this because the United States is part of CONCACAF, first defeat of Germany from a CONCACAF country in World Cup history. It had never happened before. It's also the first defending champ to lose its opening game since 2002 when it was France. Nerd alert! Germany now has no margin for error. Believe it or not, it was their first loss in the World Cup opener since the 80s, and they've got no margin for error now as they move forward and try to get into out of group play into elimination. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. As you can imagine, a lot of the players from Mexico were in tears afterwards. And in addition, according to some reports, I can neither confirm nor deny the accuracy of these, but there were tremors registering on the Richter scale in Mexico City because there were so many people jumping up and down when Mexico scored in the first half against Germany.
I wanted it to be something I never forgot.
Well, if Mexico can take advantage, if El Tri can take advantage of this opening win and use it as a springboard through the rest of the World Cup, it very well could be lots of tears and something that people never forget.
I'm in a glass case of emotion.
After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4227. That's our number, 855-212-4227. You know what else happens this week, even as we're talking about Kawhi Leonard? the NBA draft takes place this week. And it's not nearly the run-up this year that it has been in the past. It's also not nearly the run-up that we get for the NFL draft. And a lot of that has to do with the one-and-done situation in college basketball. And there's a major disconnect with fans.
Freaking suck.
No, well, I mean, I wouldn't go that far, Kobe. I would be in favor of the rules being changed for college basketball departures for the NBA. Either get rid of the rule altogether or make it more like the NFL. But we just haven't gotten to that point yet with Adam Silver and with the NCAA, with the NBA owners and the Players Association. So for now, it remains the way that it is, and we'll see what happens in this NBA draft. What is it, Thursday? I think it's Thursday. Gosh. I mean, that's how much it's not in the same stratosphere as the NFL draft that we talk about for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. Let's see. Let's go back to our phones here. Sean is in Lawrenceville, Georgia. Welcome to After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
Good morning, Amy. I love your show.
Thank you.
And your energy.
Thank you.
Yeah, I was calling about Kawhi Leonard. Me and my wife lived in San Antonio for about 2.5 years. It's only, to me, one reason there's not that he wants to leave. It's because of there's a lack of diversity in San Antonio. He's bored. We were bored. We love it there. We would still be there if there was diversity there. That's the only reason he wants to leave. And my living there, Aldridge, all of that has nothing to do with it to me. So he's unhappy. Like you said, his mom was unhappy there. That's the only reason.
Well, that's your opinion, though.
Well, I mean, I lived there. And
I got you. But you don't know. Right. You don't know this from Kawhi personally. You're just saying from your experience, it's not a place where Kawhi would fit in.
Well, not yet. That's all of our opinion. I mean, our opinion. Yeah, that's my opinion. He doesn't fit in there. There was nowhere for him to go there to do there. That's my opinion.
Now then why, just out of curiosity, why wouldn't it bother other people like Tim Duncan, David Robinson? They spent their entire careers in San Antonio, so it didn't seem to be an issue for them.
Well, I don't want to get into where people are born. Tim is not an American. African American is not too many there.
Well, you said no diversity. Yes, I get that Tim is from the Virgin Islands, but you said no diversity.
Well, African American is not too many there.
Do you think there are too many from the Virgin Islands?
The African Americans, there are not too many there in San Antonio.
No, I got you. I brought up Tim Duncan. Also, Virgin Islands are a U.S. territory, by the way. But you said there's not much diversity, so I brought up Tim Duncan, and you said there aren't any African Americans. Okay, well, are there a lot of people from the Virgin Islands?
Well, I don't know. I didn't experience people from the Virgin Islands.
Right. My point is that Tim Duncan was still in a minority. So I just, maybe that's the thing about Kawhi's personality, maybe, but, it has worked for other members of the Spurs though. David Robinson is African American.
I wonder that about, Tony Parker, Ginobili. If you're on a team and you're there forever, yeah, you could be on a team a long time, but I look at it as someone from the States. African American, it's uncomfortable. It's not, if you just move there to work or something, you're not going to be content there. That's just my experience and my view. Oh, me and my wife, we would still be there. It's a nice city, nice place to live.
It is. People love it. I get what you're saying. I want to be careful that we don't take that as gospel, because there are other African Americans who have lived there and worked there their entire careers and not had any issue with it. So did hear from Don Harris say that Kawhi is homesick. That makes sense to me simply because he's from an area that's so different than San Antonio. When I moved to Oklahoma from the Northeast, I was homesick too, because it was completely the opposite of anything that I had ever experienced in my life. So there is the possibility that it's not home and it's different. And some people have a hard time adjusting to places that are different.
Yes, I miss San Antonio. I love it. But that's just my opinion on it.
All right. Thank you, Sean. I appreciate your phone call.
All right. Bye-bye.
Yeah, San Antonio is a different type of a city for sure. I mean, it is beautiful. I have never lived there, but I've spent time there for work. My mom and her husband go there every now and then because they live in Houston. They enjoy San Antonio. People rave about it, and it has worked for some members of the Spurs who have stayed their entire careers there. I mean, right now LaMarcus Aldridge is there, and he's seemingly happy there. So I don't know if that's the case with Kawhi, but what we heard with Don Harris of Channel 4 in San Antonio is that he's been homesick. Now, that makes sense to me for sure. Just his personality, you can see that you know, he's a guy who's a little bit reluctant when it comes to superstar. And as a superstar, you can feel somewhat isolated as well because, you know, you don't necessarily have the freedom to move around without people knowing where you're going. But others have embraced it. So we'll see what happens with Kawhi. But if you're the Spurs, do you trade him? This summer, when his stock is down because he only played 9 games last season and decided not to play despite getting cleared by team doctors, or do you wait until he returns healthy and hope that his stock goes up? You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Now, who knows if he lands in Cleveland? That seems like a long shot to me, but we're going to spend some time talking about both the Browns as well as the Cavs coming up next when we welcome.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Thanks so much for tuning in. It's a big week. We've got the NBA draft coming up a little bit later on this week. And then, of course, free agency after that. And the dominoes will start to drop. But right now, there are more questions than answers. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You're answering my question about the Spurs and Kawhi Leonard. You can do that on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also, check out the pictures I put up from my Saturday at Shinnecock Hills, both on Twitter and on our Facebook page. And we'll get back to your calls after the top. It's also the summer hiatus now for football teams. Now that they finish their mandatory OTAs with both rookies and veterans, they get to take a break. We want to wrap up this summer for the Cleveland Browns with all of its promise and excitement and, of course, the number one overall pick. So we welcome Daryl Ryder from our affiliate 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. Daryl, thanks so much for joining us. What is the biggest sports story in Cleveland right now? Is it the Browns and their retooled roster with John Dorsey, or is it the Cavs and their offseason drama?
I think it's neck and neck at this point. Everyone's on pins and needles wanting to know what LeBron's going to decide, whether it's in a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, at the very latest. And there is some palpable excitement that the Browns might actually win a game or two this year.
All right, so let's talk about Cleveland and OTAs. And now the football has gone into kind of its summer hiatus. There is some optimism there, as you say, and a lot of it has to do with the fact that the Browns selected this high-profile quarterback finally with that overall number one pick. How did Baker Mayfield look in the couple OTAs in which the Browns have held so far?
Well, he does not look like the best quarterback on the field, and I don't know necessarily if that's fair or unfair to judge at this point, considering the Browns have already committed to Tyrod Taylor as their starting quarterback. I guess it's a good sign that he worked his way up to, at least as we have this conversation now, it appears that he is the number two quarterback on the depth chart after starting everything off as the number three. So he has made some progress, but it is clear, and when you talk to people within the Browns organization, both on and off the record, I mean, in fact, offensive coordinator Todd Haley wrapped up their minicamp by just coming out and saying that there is a gap between Tyrod Taylor and Baker Mayfield, and Baker Mayfield is not on the plus side of that at this point. So it's going to be Tyrod Taylor's show, and then, you know, it'll be up to Baker to pretty much catch up, and I don't really know how much of a quarterback competition there really is going to be come training camp because the organization has been steadfast in downplaying any type of competition between these two guys.
So then where is the gap? Where's the gap between Tyrod Taylor as a starter and Baker now?
Well, I think it's a combination of things. I think it's both physical as well as intellectual. As I said, just my observations, watching OTAs, watching the mini camp, Tyrod Taylor looks like he's the better player between them, and it's not really close. Now, to be fair to Baker, Baker's not getting first-team snaps. He's not getting the throw to Josh Gordon and Jarvis Landry, whereas Tyrod is. And those two players make quarterbacks look very, very good. but also, at the same time, I think Baker is dealing with the problem that a lot of college quarterbacks deal with these days, and that is a very complex offense that is drastically different from what they dealt with in college. Todd Haley has a very deep and vast playbook. Baker got a little bit of sampling during the rookie minicamp, but he basically has the full spread in front of him now that he's having to learn and implement and all those type of things. He talked about during the mini camp about how the game is starting to slow down for him a little bit. But it is clear when I watch him out there that he's not ready to start week one.
Daryl Ryder is with our affiliate in Cleveland, 92.3 The Fan, talking a little bit of Browns and some Cavaliers, too, I suppose. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. I'm not just quite ready to dive right back into the NBA, but that free agency period will be here before you know it. Daryl, you mentioned Todd Haley, and I got to tell you, I was excited for the Browns when they hired him as their offensive coordinator. I like his moxie. He's aggressive. I felt like he could inject some new life into that offense and also raise the level of expectation. What have you seen change so far?
Well, it helps that he had, it all comes down to players. I thought Hugh Jackson did a good job in his first couple of years, assembling a very strong coaching staff and also making upgrades where needed. You know, he fired Ray Horton after the first season and brought in Greg Williams, which I felt was a good hire. And then obviously this offseason, get lucky that the Steelers didn't want Todd Haley anymore, and so Haley becomes available to the Browns to hire, and I think that that's a coup. Probably the most significant addition to this team, and I say that realizing they brought in about 25 players this offseason, but the fact that he brought in an offensive coordinator who's experienced, who knows how to use weapons to help Hugh Jackson, Ken Zampezi, the former Bengals coordinators, the quarterback's coach up here now as well. And then when you look at the weapons that Haley is going to play with, he's got three running backs and two stud wide receivers and a very serviceable quarterback. Those are all immense upgrades for the Cleveland Browns, and that is why, again, there should be some level of optimism coming off an 0-16 season that the days of 0-16 and 1-15 are very much in the rearview mirror now.
Where will the Browns miss Joe Thomas the most?
I think that they'll be fine as far as in the locker room and behind the scenes. And quite frankly, they haven't missed him much because he's been around. He's been on the practice field working with these guys. He, God love him, he can't quit the Cleveland Browns. But that is what makes Joe Thomas great. I mean, last year, I kid you not, there's a blizzard outside. He's on injured reserve. His season is over. His arm is in a sling. And he's out on the practice field working with the offensive line in December in a blizzard. Can't make this stuff up. So they will miss Joe Thomas on the field. There's no question about it. It's really tough to handicap that left tackle spot right now because you really don't get a good look and feel for that position or any of the offensive linemen, and then to a degree your defensive linemen as well, until they put on the pads in training camp and they start, banging bodies against each other in that. But, Sean Coleman, who was their right tackle last year, I think he led the league in false starts. They replaced him with Chris Hubbard, who they picked up as a free agent from Pittsburgh. Coleman now moves to the left side, and the week that Joe Thomas retired, he was in the field house working with Sean Coleman, trying to get him, I guess, up to speed, if you will. They got this rookie, Austin Corbett, who they used the 33rd pick in the draft on, but they don't know where he's going to play. That makes that a very interesting pick. You spend your first pick in the second round on a guy that you don't know where you're going to play him. He's either going to be a tackle or a guard, but it's going to be between Coleman and Corbett, but you're not going to replace Joe Thomas. So they might have put a Band-Aid on the quarterback hemorrhaging that they've had for the last 20 years. But my fear is that left tackle is going to be the new quarterback carousel for the Cleveland Browns now that Joe Thomas is retired. Ironically, the one position they didn't have to worry about for 11 years while the rest of the team was a mess, now they seem to have the team kind of sort of patched back together, and now left tackle they have to worry about.
Daryl Ryder is with our affiliate in Cleveland, 92.3 The Fan. Lots of great sports fans by the shores of Lake Erie. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Quick on the defensive side of the ball, obviously some high draft picks in the last couple of years. And I know some people were surprised by the Browns not taking Bradley Chubb in this year's draft, but they really like Denzel Ward plus Myles Garrett from a year ago. What does the defense look like with those two guys as kind of young, energetic, athletic additions?
And they got two other young, energetic, athletic guys in up front, Larry Ogunjobi and Emmanuel Agba. Both have the potential, like Myles Garrett, to become household names. Denzel Ward, I think the sky's the limit for him. He reminds me of a young Joe Hayden. I think he's got Pro Bowl potential. Don't want to put too much pressure on the local kid in Buckeye, but it's what I see in him. He's the only guy I ever saw take a football away from Josh Gordon in a game or practice. And he did that a couple of weeks ago. And he looks really good up against both Gordon and Jarvis Landry. They've had some fun battles in these OTAs as well as the mini camp. But it is a whole new secondary for the Browns, completely rebuilt from the ground up. They brought Demaryius Randall. You got E.J. Gaines. They got in Travis Carey. Michael Kendricks, they just signed 2 weeks ago, the free agent linebacker from Philadelphia. So they, basically on both sides of the ball, there really isn't a position besides left tackle where the Cleveland Browns have not gotten better this offseason. And that's, again, why cautiously optimistic at least one, if not two victories, all but guaranteed in 2018 here.
No place to go but up. You can find Daryl on Twitter at RyderWrong, F-A-N, and Ryder is R-U-I-T-E-R, covers the Browns and the Cavs for our affiliate in Cleveland. Good to talk to you. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, Amy.
There's a lot of potential there. I think that I agree. Browns fans should be cautiously optimistic. I like the draft. I like the moves John Dorsey has made. Now the pieces need to come together and fall into place, and a lot of that has to do with coaching and leadership. But the idea that they would go 0-for again, to me, seems completely unrealistic and improbable. They do have to learn how to win, but they're on the right track. I like it. Halfway through, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.